You are listening to Bit Podcast, a business podcast series produced by Bitpod on behalf of PKF Malta.
Today with us, I have the pleasure of having Her Excellency Mary Louise Correiro Preca, who is an inspirational woman to all of us. Mary Louise served in politics for 45 years and was a member of parliament for 16 years. Mary Louise founded and chairs the Malta Foundation for the Wellbeing of Society and is very passionate about improving the lives of the most vulnerable in society. She is also a strong advocate and an advocate speaker on a number of social issues, including social justice, equality and equity, children's rights and gender equality. She is with us today to discuss the work of the foundation and Malta's social realities, particularly when it comes to people's quality of life, human rights, and dignity. It is an honor to have you on board with us, and thank you very much for accepting our invitation. As a brief introduction, could you please provide us with more information on what is the purpose of the Foundation for the Wellbeing of Society and how it started?
So really, thank you. And I would like to thank everybody at PKF for your initiative to give visibility to the social sector, and in particular also to the Malta Foundation for the Wellbeing of Society, which I set up in 2014 when I was elected president of Malta. The idea was to bring academic research and scientific research together with, well, the collective wisdom, as I like to call it. That is, to me, people are very important, and in particular, children. So yes. The Malta Foundation for the Wellbeing of Society, we practically invest in children and young people in the sense, or rather in the context of the family and the community. This is our focus as a foundation. We have, in fact, a children's council, which is has been there now for about nearly 9 years. And also we have set up a children's hub. To us, child participation is very, very important. We are so much informed through children, through children's aspirations, through their recommendations. We are very much focused also on children's human rights. And listening to children is, in actual fact, a children human right. It is Article 12 of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. So therefore, we are very much, we steer our work very much on these lines. So The Malta Foundation for the Wellbeing of Society is, we operate from a two-pronged approach. So as I said, one is the academic and scientific research, but also the popular wisdom. It is from this that we inform our advocacy, we create national toolkits, and we give technical assistance and training. For example, we developed a national toolkit for child participation, which, as I said, is a very fundamental child human right. And we really aspire to see child participation as a structural way of doing things in this country, of developing our strategies, of how we developed our policies, plans of action, and operational plans. And therefore, right now, we are working on a project, which is also EU-funded, to develop the Children's Regional Councils. In that way, we are collaborating in this project with the Children's Commissioner, with the Ministry for Local Council, and also the Association of Local Councils. So we do hope that in the coming years, we can see children participating in a structured manner and informing our policies, informing our strategies, well, developing and helping to developing in developing the vision that we need for our way forward.
Our children, after all, are the future of our society. Yeah. So they are a different generation and the way forward, sort of.
I would like to describe children as being the present. We need to invest now in them. Mm-hmm. Because today, yes, they are children. Tomorrow, they are our young people. But then the day after tomorrow, they are our leaders of our communities and of our country. And therefore, it is from now that we need to focus on them and to invest in them. Besides, I always repeat this. We are borrowing our country from them. We have an obligation, we have a responsibility as adults to see what they are aspiring for. My experience with children, and this is an ongoing thing, my experience with children in conversation with children, children overwhelm me, and with their amazing ideas, with their amazing vision and aspirations, they think in a way that we adults do not. They are holistic, they are inclusive, they want the best, they want peace, they want equality, they want equity. Many a time, unfortunately, in the course or in the journey of our lives, as adults, we tend to forget some of these values. And therefore, we need children to keep us en route so that we can uphold these values and put them as our foundation to whatever we are doing for the common good. The foundation also, over the years, we have managed to be catalysts in bringing together two main networks. One is Malta Can, and Malta Can is a network of about 17 national organizations that work with and for children. And again, it is all focused about children and children's rights. And then also, during the last 2 years, I think, we set up the Children's Rights Observatory Malta. And this is an initiative taken by the Malta Foundation for the Wellbeing of Society in collaboration with University of Malta, specifically with the Faculty for Social Wellbeing. And this is, again, this is an observatory on that focuses on children's rights.
Since the establishment of the foundation, in your opinion, what was the most influential project that you have worked on?
Well, it's quite difficult because each and every project that we work on, we put our hearts in, and we're very passionate on what we do. So we love what we do. So everything is very, but if I had to choose from all the work that has been done, I would say the Children's Manifesto. This is bringing together all the child participation processes that we have conducted over the years. And this brings together 99 proposals made by children, which have been launched by children themselves in November 2021 on the occasion of International Children's Rights Day. And the idea was to influence the electoral programs of the political parties before elections. I must say that we have seen many of the proposals that the children have developed in the parties' programs, though obviously it is yet to be seen how many of these proposals will be actually implemented. We do hope that all the proposals taken from the children have said will be actually implemented to the full. One thing which we have also tried to do before elections through this Children's Manifesto was to invite all the electoral candidates then, earlier in 2022, to become children's champions by subscribing to this manifesto. So in this manner, because children were telling us, after so many processes, sort of, okay, we speak, but what happens? We speak, we know what we want, we know what needs to be done. However, what is next? So we took the opportunity to bring together all their proposals specifically before elections so that the political parties in this country would have, well, a program about children, you know, and with children. We do hope that in the long run, or I would say in the medium run, but with benefits in the long run, that political parties in Malta would take up child participation as something which is second to nature in the way they do things.
This is very interesting. How do you really involve children in the sense that you go to school? Sometimes it's very difficult to speak to children, I mean to say. How do you do this in your day-to-day work?
Yes, this is an ongoing, how can I say, process. Mm-hmm. So we have the Children's Council, yes, which is a diverse council. Therefore, the children there bring in you know, they bring value to the table, diverse values to the table, one could say, and diverse perspectives of things, etc. But it is an ongoing part of our work that, yes, we do go to schools. We do go to schools, and we do have child participation processes. In particular, we use also Skola Saif as one of our spaces. We sit down with children and, listen to children. One of the latest participation processes we held with children was with the children in early years. That is, we're speaking of 3 to 6 year olds. This was a child participation process which was conducted during last summer about mental health. Yes. We are very aware and conscious of mental health and the issues that unfortunately the pandemic continued to compound on. We used the book that Dr. Polan Grek had created. Dr. Polan Grek is a psychiatrist and wrote this book for her 5-year-old during the pandemic. But then obviously we encouraged her to publish it and also used it as a background to this child participation process with early years. It is very difficult for some people to understand that child participation processes is not with children who are, you know, adolescents or young people, but even at that very early stage, there is a methodology that can be used to listen to children and capture their aspirations. Child participation is not bringing children around the table and asking questions, but child participation has its own methodology, and it has to be done correctly. In fact, we have developed a national toolkit for child participation, which we hope we can launch very soon now. And we do hope that this will be taken up by all people who work with children and for children.
That's very important. I can see even from my own experience that sometimes even the teachers themselves, they don't know how to approach certain ways of communicating with children. I can also see that COVID has caused a lot of issues on children, particularly between the age of 3 and 6 years, because they were restricted from going out and meeting socially. Are you encountering these type of issues here locally?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. From this child participation process on mental health during summer with the early years, we have found a number of issues which right now are being studied by an experts committee that we have brought together and publishing the findings or rather continuing to advocate on certain ways and means that we need to adopt to ensure that we address mental health issues, not just with the early years, but also later. Been running this program for the last 7 years. And the findings that we have from a cross-section of schools across Malta are very telling. And again, this is something which is being now put under our focus together with experts to see how we can not just further expand our services that we give, but also what advocacy we need to provide so that we can address worrying issues that we are meeting with on a national level. So yes, the issue of mental health is real. It has been compounded by COVID. Even research is showing this. We cannot possibly ignore. We cannot be complacent on this, because research shows that mental health issues and mental health challenges start from very young. They do not crop up simply at an older age or when we are adults, but mental health issues actually start from very young. And therefore, we cannot afford to be complacent on this. We need to invest in our children, invest in their mental health.
Yes, that's right. I agree. I totally agree with you.
And now for a quick intermission. At PKF Malta, we are enthusiastic about encouraging startups to flourish. We provide a wide range of professional services necessary for startups to take off, such as assistance with company formation, license applications, setting up bank accounts, auditing, accounting, and tax advice. We've also founded Bitpod, which provides startups with readily available office space. Email us on info@pkfmalta.com to find out more.
So you made me a little bit curious. What are children saying about various issues, about Malta, about our country, their vision? Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yes, yes, of course. I can always hand you over the children's manifesto to see the holistic approach that children look at things. But let me maybe share with you something which crops up each and every time. Mm-hmm. I am in conversation with children. We are in conversation with children. Children are very concerned about the environment. They are very worried about the lack of open spaces, the lack of green spaces, safe and inclusive spaces. Articulate how they speak about the environment. They speak of noise pollution. They speak of emissions from traffic. So they are very, very articulate. They speak of the sea, of plastic, of recycling. So children really are urging us, adults, to take bold and courageous decisions to try to damage limit the situation in our country. Mm-hmm. I do hope that our politicians, our authorities, all the stakeholders heed what children are saying. I'm not saying that they're not being heeded, but definitely we need more and more strong decisions and actions.
Yes, yes, I agree as well with you. And do you also assist sort of children that have any issues or that's not the remit of the foundation per se?
But we refer to anything of the sort to the Malta Trust Foundation. And mm-hmm. any other organization that have the provision of services according to the need.
Okay, that's good. In fact, I have also seen that you have founded an app for youths to support during the mental health crisis. Yes. So that was also an initiative of yours.
Yes, yes. This has been an initiative by the Foundation for the Wellbeing of Society, where we reached out to the University of Malta to collaborate. Mm-hmm. I must say that the University of Malta to us is a collaborators that, and one could say a partner in many of, because most of our research is conducted by us for the collaboration of the University of Malta to do it for us. So it was natural for us that even this mental health app for young people, we reach out to university. We have launched it in December. Now we are going to indulge into a more deeper campaign. This is a preventive opportunity rather than a reactive situation, you know? So we do hope that many young people take this up as a way of helping them to prevent and also to help them know about the services that exist and also seek the necessary help that they would need.
Yes, okay. All right, so for the future, what lies ahead for the foundation?
Well, we're never out of ideas because we are very much in touch of what is going on all around us. We have a number of projects. So one of the main projects that we have at this point is setting up of the regional children's councils. As I said,
we
do hope and aspire that child participation will become a structure in this country where everybody is informed by what children are saying so that we develop our policies and put children at the heart of our policies to ensure that we do invest in children today for them to become the relevant, the resilient leaders of our communities and countries. We continue to work on interfaith and intercultural and multiculturalism. This, we have recently had a very good event at the Aura Primary School, which is a really large primary school with 57 nationalities. We need to truly invest in this. If we want to have a culture of positive peace in our country, we need to instill, empower our children with respect to our diversity. We need to empower our children to celebrate diversity and to seek the opportunities that diversity brings about. We need also children to understand that, for example, freedom of religion is a fundamental human right. And the fundamental human right, which is universal. So, and this is so important now that we know that 1 in 5 people inhabiting our islands are people who have not been born on the Maltese Islands, and therefore are surprised and not prepared for it, but we need to prepare our children. Otherwise, we will not live in harmony and in peace. So that is also an ongoing project for us. Mm-hmm. We are also working on issues of like restorative justice. Again, this is the issue of respect, the issue of ethical values, which we need to empower our children in. We have also an ongoing campaign, one could say, which we call Girls to Leader. It was an international campaign which I championed through women political leaders, but we brought to Malta because I championed it in a number of countries, where we had a series of webinars last year on this, on different themes. And we have now taken on board the theme of our girls feeling safe. And this is due to some very significant realities that have shocked. Well, there are a huge number of projects, salient projects that we are working on.
That's the reality, unfortunately. Yes, multiculturalism, yes. And the fact that in recent months we had quite a number of abuse reports.
Femicides and violence against women, you know. So one other project which is we are focusing on, and this is in taking the opportunity rather of Malta's leading the Security Council during February and even April next year and being a member for these next 2 years, the impact of conflict on children. We know that during these last 20 years have been taking in quite a number of unaccompanied asylum-seeking children coming from conflict countries. Yes. And therefore, we need to really see that impact. So we're trying to map out, how can I say, the services in Malta with regards to this group of people, to this group of vulnerable children and young people. And we hope that we can develop a national toolkit which will take on board as a region in the Mediterranean, but also on an international level. We are working together with, or rather having also some technical assistance from the Special Representative of the Secretary General of the United Nations on children and on conflict, and also with the Special Representative of the Secretary General of the United Nations on violence against children. So this is also an international component. Lately, and this is since, a year and a half, I think, we have been bringing everything together. We have just set up a Mediterranean Children's Movement together with other 6 founding countries, organizations that work with and for children. We do hope that this will continue to grow and also feel that we are not just part of Europe, but also part of the Mediterranean, being situated in the Mediterranean. We need to know, or rather, we need to work also to invest in children within the Mediterranean context.
Thank you very much, Your Excellency, for your time. Much appreciated. I invite all of our listeners to stay tuned for more on Spotify, through our socials, and also on our website. Thank you very much. Until next time. Thank you for listening to Bit Podcast. If you like this episode, be sure to subscribe and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter.